the Vice President of Economic and Policy Analysis at the National Cotton Council to give us a cotton review.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's a pleasure to be able to address the Beltwide Cotton Conference and provide just a brief update on cotton's economic landscape and give you an overview of the current cotton market. And hopefully my remarks will just set the stage for some of the more detailed details that you'll hear in the next presentation and just the challenges that we face in today's market. Let me jump in and first recap where cotton prices have been, and it's certainly better to be able to stand up here and talk to you about the economic update at a time when cotton prices are on the rise, and certainly in a much different picture than what we saw a year ago when we were coming off of those higher prices in 2008 and then looking at some low prices at the beginning of 2009. We're in a situation where over the course of calendar 2009, we saw cotton prices advance by 20 to 25 cents, both the A index as well as the New York futures. And if we look at just some of the reasons behind that advance in cotton prices, some of the ones have certainly been alluded to. We are seeing an improving picture in the general economy that has helped. The weaker dollar that we've observed through much of 2009 has been supportive of commodity prices and cotton prices in particular. And then also the fact that as we look at the fundamentals and the balance sheet, we are expecting a tighter balance sheet. So that's also been supportive of prices. We're going to jump ahead now and just give you a brief review of where the latest numbers are for the marketing year that we're in the midst of now, and that's the 2009 marketing year, and we're talking about an August to July period when we talk about the 09-10 marketing year. These are the latest numbers from USDA for the world balance sheet. We're putting global production down from a year ago, current numbers at 102.7 million bales of production. That's down almost 5 million bales from where we were in 2008. If we just kind of touch on where some of those big changes occurred in particular countries, China accounts for a lot of that. Their crop in it by itself is off roughly 5 million bales in 09 compared to a year ago. We also saw a smaller crop in some of the Central Asian producing countries, and then some of the other adjustments largely offset themselves in other countries. One of the key numbers to watch, though, as we look at this balance sheet is overall mill use. Right now estimated at 114.4 million bales, or excuse me, 114.5 million bales. We have seen that number get a bit more optimistic as we've seen some of the monthly estimates coming out of USDA. That is up about 3.4 million bales from where we were in 2008, which, as you all know, as we look at the economic difficulties that we've been going through over the last 12 to 18 months, we certainly saw a very sharp contraction in global mill use, down roughly 10% from where we were in 2007. So hopefully we weathered the worst of that, and we're seeing that turn around. You put those together, the combination of a smaller crop and then a recovery in mill use, I think one of the key things to watch as we go through the remainder of this marketing year is whether or not we actually realize that decline in ending stocks that's being called for, a decline of more than 9 million bales. So that's one of the things that is supporting prices. If realized, that would be the largest decline and the most significant decline that we've seen since going back to the 2002 marketing year. So a key one to watch. And a lot, again, will hinge on where we see things going in mill use, and that's going to depend on does the economy continue to recover. We just briefly recap some of the expectations for a global economy. These projections that you see on the chart there are from the International Monetary Fund put out in October of last year. At the time, they were saying the global economy contracted a little more than 1%. A lot of that was due to contraction in developed economies and a slowdown in developing countries. Right now, their expectations for 2010 is a recovery, with growth occurring at approximately 3%. I've seen some other private forecasts that are of a similar magnitude. There are concerns, though, as we look at the potential for the economy to grow, that it is going to be restrained growth. Certainly, as you look at the consumer, their consumer confidence is not very high, and unemployment is continuing to run at high levels. So that may keep a lid on consumer spending to some degree and temper the growth that we may see in front of us. But as you know, to kind of bring that back to the linkage with mill use, you know, take that same growth chart, and I'll set the stage here, keep that measured on the left-hand axis, and then chart that with the percentage change that we've seen in global meal use lining up kind of the crop year and the calendar year numbers. And actually over the past decade or so, a fairly strong correlation that when we saw the economy contract, we had that 10% decline in meal use. Now as we look ahead to 2010 and the recovery in the 09-10 marketing year, a lot of that ability, I think, to recover meal use will depend on whether or not we can continue to see the economy improve and hopefully see growth return in 2010. Let me step forward and touch briefly on the 09-10 balance sheet for the United States. The current estimate for production is 12.6 million bales. That comes off of a planted area number of 9.1 million acres in 09, which was down about 3.5% from 2008. We, as you all know, had some weather problems in the southeast and mid-south due to excessive rainfall. We also in South Texas had the effects of a devastating drought, so we've actually seen the expectations for the crop decline, particularly as we've gone through the fall, and right now USDA is at 12.6 million bales. I think in the latest classing data that was out for 480-pound statistical bales, we've seen roughly 10.9 million bales classed to date. We look at a couple of other numbers of note in the U.S. balance sheet. We're continuing to see pressure on U.S. meal use. For the current marketing year, 3.4 million bales looks to be a fairly good estimate based on what we're seeing in some of the most recent meal use numbers. That's down slightly from what we had in 2008. Hopefully, though, we're seeing some stabilization in U.S. meal use, and maybe the better economic picture will continue to provide some support. A key is going to be exports, though. We know roughly three-fourths of the crop is going to find its way into the export channels. Right now, the estimate is for exports of about 11 million bales. We are going to be down from the previous two crop years. I think that's clear. Part of that, though, is just due to the fact that we have lower exportable supplies going into the 2009 marketing year. We have seen some good data coming out in recent weeks on both sales, primarily sales, but also some on shipments. We still have some work to do to hit 11 million bales, but it does appear that that's attainable as we move through the remainder of the marketing year. So when you look at the U.S. balance sheet, we are also calling for a decline in stocks. Quite a bit different picture than where we sat 2 years ago when we were talking about ending stocks of 10 million bales. Now it looks like there's a good chance we'll see that number pull under 5 million bales, right? USDA is at 4.5 million bales. But if we focus on the importance of exports a little bit and just look at a breakdown just to remind you of who the customers are, the international customers are for U.S. cotton, you can see that I've highlighted the top seven markets. Those account almost for almost three-fourths of total U.S. cotton exports. These shares are based on three-year averages. In fact, if you look at the top three markets, that's about 55% of our exports go to three markets. And one in particular is certainly one that has the can have a significant impact on U.S. exports and the U.S. market, and that's China, that accounts for roughly 30% of our raw fiber exports. A key to where our exports go will depend on what happens in China. A lot of issues and too many really to get into great detail about, in terms of the Chinese market. We know they control their market closely through both the release of reserve stocks of cotton. We also know they certainly allocate their import quotas in a manner to control their prices at a level that is substantially above world prices. In fact, if you look at some of the most recent data for the China Cotton A Index, right now sits just above a dollar, with the A indexed in Far East markets at about 78 cents. And also we see that polyester prices in China are in the low to mid 60s. So we are seeing cotton priced today at a certainly a premium relative to polyester, and they control their market to keep those prices high. It does look like, though, with a smaller crop in China this year and a recovery in meal use, that they will be in a position to import more cotton in the 09 marketing year than what they did in 2008. We've already seen announcements for 2010 for the basic WTO quota of approximately 4 million bales that they are required to release each year, and then also some additional quota as well that has been announced. I think another 4.5 million bales on top of that. So they are sending signals that they're going to be in a position to import more cotton, and hopefully as the year goes along, we'll even see more quota announced. So that's one of the key markets to watch. The other is India. From the standpoint of who the United States is competing with in the export market. India has seen tremendous expansion in their production. They've also seen growth in their mill use, but it has not kept pace with their production, and they have emerged, as you see on the chart, as a significant exporter of cotton. Now, a couple of interesting developments in India, particularly over the last 12 months or so, they did come in an increase in the latter part of 2008, their minimum support price, to a level at the time that was well above where the world market was trading. The net effect of that was to essentially make them uncompetitive in world markets, and as you look at that contraction in exports in 2008, down to about only 2 million bales, they really backed out of world markets. Now, as we come into 2009, though, they are in a position with their crop and their stocks to be more aggressive in the export markets, and we expect we will see exports increase out of India. So that's going to be one to watch, because particularly when you compare that to what the U.S. position is in the world trade market. And this is going to be key as you look at just the U.S. trade share in export markets for cotton and then India's trade share. And over the last 5 years, we almost look at mirror images of the two. India's export share goes down. That typically the U.S. steps in and grabs some of that share. India comes back, then we see the U.S. share fall. So when you think about what's going to be some of the factors that drive the U.S. market, China's going to be one from a buying perspective. India's going to be one from a selling perspective in terms of their competition. Let me just make a couple of comments in closing of some issues to look at as we focus on 2010. Now, I think one of the challenges will be obviously maintaining mill demand at these price levels. Hopefully the recovery in the economy can allow us to do that. But we have to realize there's going to continue to be some resistance at these higher price levels, some competition from man-made fibers. I think that's really reiterates some of the importance of the work done by both Cotton Incorporated as well as Cotton Council International in terms of the promotion efforts of cotton compared to man-made fiber. Again, looking at the potential for a significant decline in stocks certainly sets up a more supportive balance sheet when we look at where prices may be in front of us. And then I think a final a point in closing is to just reiterate the competition for acres in the U.S. and abroad. First, look outside the United States. I think when we look at where the A index is currently, compare that back to where it's been historically, when we've seen the A index move into these levels, we typically see other countries respond with more acres, and that's probably a likelihood for 2010. So that's going to be one of the things to watch. You know, I think as we look at the situation in the U.S., you know, the first comment I would make is that as you see the recovery in cotton prices, we're certainly in a more competitive situation as we look at cotton relative to competing crops, probably more competitive than we've been since the 2006 year. We're also probably going to look at input costs that are similar this year to compare to what they were a year ago. I'm not going to, at this point, hazard a guess in terms of what U.S. acres may do, but I will put in a plug for the survey that is going on right now in terms of the NCC survey. That gives us our best indication of what will happen with U.S. acreage. That survey is out now. We've hopefully captured every producer that we had on our records, either through regular mail or email. So I want to encourage your participation because that is an important tool we use for putting together the economic outlook. So certainly that's one of the things that can give us a good indication of where we see things going in the 2010 as we put our outlook together. Thank you again for this opportunity to provide kind of a brief overview on the economic situation. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Gary, for that very thorough overview and perhaps encouraging news that you might be giving us at the annual meeting.